You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
UFC 278 tomorrow night from Salt Lake City. Another stacked card featuring Kamaru Usman defending his welterweight belt against Leon Edwards. Prelims begin at 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on ESPN Plus. By the way, if you purchase the main card on pay-per-view, you will get access to a special broadcast with Rob Gronkowski and his family that actually begins at 9 Eastern on ESPN. To order the main card in English and in Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. All right, now it's time for Best of the Week.
It is the segment all of America loves.
All heck has broken loose while I was gone.
Welcome to Get Up. I'm Brian Custer.
The goo is in the building.
Jeff just wants to live on the damn beach.
It's a season of love. Yes.
Don't do dumb bleep.
Let's go.
Look who's back. Lord have mercy.
Back and better than ever.
Way to come back.
Let's roll, everybody. Don't put a single camera on me when I'm dancing, for crying out loud. I have an image to uphold. Oh, you're over here? No, you're over here.
Well, this couldn't be going worse.
Just bring me my damn food, man.
You look like a ventriloquist dummy.
Yes, a little self-deprecation this morning.
Pressure makes diamonds, but it also bursts pipes.
Sacha was losing it. Can you give me any reason to feel any optimism, hope, or joy?
There is no hope.
Back
He's
hurt.
A Jets fan. There is no hope.
The three rings of marriage. The engagement ring, the wedding ring,
then comes the suffer ring.
Aww.
Will you excuse me for a moment while my head explodes?
No.
Hey, Tannenbaum, it actually could be your headshot. You could sign that.
Rex paid the producers to keep this footage.
We literally just watched an audition.
This is TV in 2022. What a fun week here, and as we are sort of gearing up for the start of the football season, we hope you're enjoying it half as much as we enjoy putting it on for you every single day. And I don't know everything, but I know this. I will never get tired of watching Tannenbaum not catch that punt and then fall over backwards. I will never grow tired of that. We welcome you back to another hour here of Get Up. We are live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. A lot to get to on what is a football Friday, so let's do it. It's time to get up, and our top story today, of course, involves Deshaun Watson. Now that the decisions from the league and the Players Association have been made, where does it all go from here for the Browns and for the player? We'll start there. Then, Fields on the field. Why it might be getting late, much too early, for the young QB in Chicago. We'll show you his latest performance, and it is the biggest question mark in the NFL. Could it cost the Cowboys a season and their coach his job? All that and more on this Football Friday with us on Get Up here. And the top story, as always, where the NFL and the NFLPA reached a settlement in the Deshaun Watson case yesterday, agreeing to an 11-game suspension without pay and a fine of $5 million. Watson was accused by more than two dozen women of sexual misconduct during massage sessions. He spoke about it all yesterday.
The second time I spoke to you guys, I actually apologized, but I think for some people it didn't maybe register as I was apologizing. But, you know, I just wanted to clarify, you know, I was apologizing to all women and people that was affected about this situation, because it's, you know, it's definitely a tough situation.
What are you apologizing for?
For everyone that was affected about this situation. There was a lot of people that was triggered.
But not the women that accused you of this?
I've apologized to all women. So anybody that was affected, even yourself, everything. So I'm apologizing to everyone that was affected about this whole situation. I've always stood on my innocence and always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. But at the same time, I have to continue to push forward with my life and my career. And I'm moving on with my career and my life, and I'm continuing to stand on my innocence. Just because, you know, settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything. I feel like a person has the opportunity to stand on his innocence and prove that, and we prove that on the legal side, and we just got to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person.
All right, so those were in response to a variety of questions yesterday. Sam Acho, Mike Tannenbaum, Chris Canty, Brooke Pryor with us here today with reaction. Obviously, there are football ramifications to this story. We'll deal with those later. Let's deal with by far the more important piece of this. And Brooke, I will start with you. As you heard his remarks yesterday, we see at least the end of the disciplinary phase of this from the league standpoint now and where they wind up leaving off as far as punishment is concerned. What do we feel about the entire thing?
Well, conditional apologies are not apologies. Saying, I'm sorry if you were triggered, shows that you don't understand why you're in this position. You don't understand how you have hurt people, how you have specifically hurt the women that have brought forth these accusations. One thing that, Adam Schefter tweeted last night that's part of this punishment, part of him coming back to the field, is the league expects him to be fully compliant with treatment, accept accountability, and understand his behavior. In apologizing only in controlled situations, he doesn't understand his behavior. He is not showing accountability. The only time he's used the word accountability recently was in an interview with a Browns-employed sideline reporter. That's a controlled environment. He also showed some remorse in a written statement issued. But when he was talking with local reporters in Cleveland who were asking him the questions, that's when he contradicted himself and said, you know, I stand on my innocence. I apologize to everyone. I apologize to all women. I don't need an apology. I need you to apologize to the women that you hurt, that you caused pain to.
Chris Canty, how about you?
Yeah, it's a bad look. The comments from Deshaun Watson were cringeworthy, but it's not just him. The comments from Jimmy Haslam yesterday, I mean, it's cringeworthy. And then the fact that the NFL pivoted from its position where they were adamant that Deshaun Watson serve a year-long suspension, it's a bad look for all involved. But feelings aside about the settlement, I think the thing that we have to keep in mind is that the NFL is establishing a new precedent when it comes to discipline with the personal conduct policy pertaining to women's issues. And now, the most important thing for the NFL moving forward is the consistency and the application of this new precedent to everybody in the NFL. That means players, coaches, executives, and owners. And we've had several owners run afoul of the personal conduct policy when it comes to issues surrounding women. So, Roger Goodell, if you're going to be heavy-handed with this discipline with Deshaun Watson, make sure you're heavy-handed with those owners and other people that could potentially run afoul of this policy.
Now, Sam Acho, not only did you play in the league for a great many years, but you had a leadership position with the union, so you understand some of the inner workings of that side of this as well. What's your perspective on how it all turns out?
Yeah, I see this as a teaching moment. I know in football, a lot of times you'll use someone else's mistake to learn from it. I mean, for me, I see this as a situation where what you do in the dark will come to the light. Even if you think that no one else knows about it, it's going to get found out. So if you have an issue, right, like get it addressed before it turns into something huge. And then secondly, if you've made a mistake, apologize genuinely, like wholeheartedly. Don't give half-hearted apologies. And so for me, I think there's two points. The point of we talked about it, the counseling piece. He's going to counseling, going to therapy. Do that earlier, and hopefully it works, right? Down the line, he gets better. But also the point of genuine remorse, genuine accountability. I think that's the piece that we're seeing missing, at least when you watch some of these interviews that we're seeing here.
Now, perhaps that is a piece that can come from what Brooke was talking about, which is that therapy and going through and doing the work that Roger Goodell said that he is expected to do. Perhaps his perspective on all this will be different when this suspension concludes. We'll have to wait and see. Mike T., I'll give you the final word on this piece of it here. As far as the procedural part of this, I think there are some important points to be made as well. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just from the magnitude of the economics here, he's only going to miss $632,500 worth of paychecks. And next year, his base salary goes up to $46 million. So it shows you the immense leverage he had in the marketplace going back to March, despite 24 allegations of sexual misconduct and how far the Browns moved to make sure that they could get him. And the other part that's really interesting is the league, as Chris Canty alluded to, wanted a full season suspension. That's why they had the collectively bargained right exercise to appeal Judge Robinson's initial decision of 6 games. But I think what the league decided was, we'll take the certainty of 11 games because, albeit unlikely, Greeny, the NFLPA would have probably gone to federal district court, sought injunctive relief, which could have actually put Deshaun Watson on the field at the start of the season. So to avoid all those sort of legal maneuverings, the league took the certainty of a settlement with the NFLPA.
And so we wind up where we wind up yesterday for all of us. And again, the reaction will continue here, and we'll continue to bring it to you. There are also on-the-field ramifications that we'll deal with a little later in this hour. In the meantime, let's go on the field to an NFL preseason game that you saw last night on ESPN, the Bears and the Seahawks, and that means Justin Fields for Chicago, and so much interest in how he will look in this, his second season. This is the first play of the game. And he seems to be finding a nice connection with his third-year tight end out of Notre Dame, Cole Kmet. That's a first-down play. Later in the drive, first and 10, he'll play action here, and he's going to find Khalil Herbert out of the backfield. As Herbert, it's Fields rolling right for a four-yard gain, and then he would roll left here on the very next play and find Kmet for a 19-yard gain. So they're moving the chains. Later in the drive, they're in the red area with a third and four, and it's Fields. He'll find Herbert, but nowhere near a first down, so the Bears would kick a field goal, and that would be the night for the quarterback. He'd finish 5 of 7, 39 yards. Bears would go on to win 27-11, but the important part of this is Justin Fields. And the Bears' offense, in all the measurable ways, looked a little better last night than in their first preseason game. And most importantly, in the one series he played last night, they scored points. He didn't get sacked. With him on the field, they averaged 5.8 yards per play yesterday compared to 4.3 last week. You can only take so much out of these preseason games, but as we've said many times, they don't count, but they matter. Yep. What did you see from that offense and from the quarterback last night?
Well, you mentioned the point about Justin Fields not being sacked. The only reason he wasn't sacked is because he's really, really good, because that offensive line is really, really porous. And you saw it in two of the four dropbacks that Justin Fields had. You're talking about seven-man protections, yet that offensive line still allowing pressure on the quarterback. Now, I thought what Luke Getsy did in terms of using bootlegs to move the launch point helps Justin Fields out. Last year with Matt Nagy, only 15 design rollouts for Justin Fields. That has to change. I think moving the launch point can take some pressure off of the offensive line and actually get Justin Fields an opportunity to do what he does best. But from a mechanic standpoint, seeing him roll to his left, flip his hips, set his feet, and then fire an accurate strike downfield to Cole Kmet, I think that shows clear development, clear evolution of the player making a jump from year one to year two. Now it's just going to be up to the coaching staff and the organization to try to keep Justin Fields upright so he can continue to develop.
Yeah, Mike T, so much attention is being paid to the lack of weapons that he has on the outside, but it's really what's in front of him that is the biggest concern for you.
Yeah, Greeny, you're not the only one losing your voice in terms of the people that want to root for the Chicago Bears. It doesn't matter what they put on the outside. Until they fix the offensive line, everything else is irrelevant. They only drafted linemen in the 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds. That is reckless disregard for Justin Fields' development. So Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, David Montgomery, it doesn't matter, Greeny. This could be the next version of David Carr. Justin Fields is a young, talented quarterback who has incredible upside. There's no way he's going to make it through 17 games. And that's job one, two, and three. When you develop a young quarterback, you have to give him an offensive line. That's the foundation for where everything develops from there.
See, that's the complicated piece of this, because when you bring in a new regime, we all understand they want to tear it down to the studs. I get that, and start building it again. But if you have the quarterback you want to build around, then perhaps the one thing, Sacho, you need to continue to do is to have some protection for him, because he needs to be standing upright at the end, and he needs to be making some improvement. What are you seeing out there, Sacho?
Yeah, I'm seeing fear and concern if I'm the Bears offense, and I'm seeing defenders licking their chops. Look at this. You have the first real pass play of the game. Not the offensive line. You have your running back, Khalil Herbert, whiffs on a block. The very next pass play of the game, you see a five-man pressure in the pocket collapse. Justin Fields looking for somewhere to go. Another pass play later on in that series. Once again, the right guard gets beat. There's no time. And so for me, defensively, if I'm watching any of this tape, I'm not looking at the stats. Oh, he didn't get sacked. I'm saying, oh, I can't wait to put five-man pressure, one-on-ones. These offensive linemen can't block. And oh, by the way, if they try to go to seven-man tight ends or running backs block, I can beat them as well.
What do you think, Brooke Pryor, as you talk to people around the league as we get ready for the start of a season here, what perspective are you hearing on the Bears and on Fields?
Well, when you were talking about tearing a team down to the studs, it made me think of, it's like the Bears are trying to rebuild a house, right? But they laid down this really nice hardwood floor before they put the roof up, and it's going to rain. You're going to ruin your floor. You've invested all this money in a quarterback, although their money isn't there yet, but you've invested draft capital in this quarterback. You want him to be your future. How can he do that if you're not giving him the things to protect him, if you're not giving him the weapons around him to throw the ball to? So I just get the sense that they are going to waste a talent like Justin Fields if they don't get him protection, if they don't get him some real threats down the field.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tough kid. And if he is able to come through this as a learning experience, and that's terrific. But I share some of the concern that Mike T does. It seems that by having a quarterback starting his career and having a coach and an executive as they did a year ago in his rookie year, who were clearly in a final year of their scenario, now they find themselves in a very bad place. Hopefully it doesn't wind up costing the young player. All right, we'll continue in just a moment. Speaking of terrifically talented young players, did you hear what a Hall of Famer said about Lamar Jackson last night? Why Steve Young thinks the Ravens are doing their star quarterback a huge disservice. We've got reaction, and then the Steelers right in the middle of a QB competition right now. But Chris Canty knows who should replace Big Ben, and for him, it isn't even close. Wait till you hear this as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up, and our next stop is Baltimore, where the Ravens have announced that Lamar Jackson will be sitting for the second preseason game this Sunday against the Cardinals. As you know, Jackson and the Ravens have still yet to agree on a contract extension. I want you to hear from Steve Young last night on NFL Countdown on Lamar's contract, his role, and more.
Why isn't he getting paid to be Patrick Mahomes? Because they haven't given him a chance to be Patrick Mahomes. So until they do, Lamar Jackson's damned because of what the Ravens are doing, not because of Lamar Jackson. I can't wait for someone to train Lamar Jackson in a sophisticated passing game. I think he'd be the greatest player in the history of the game. He's being held back by the Ravens. I want the full measure of who Lamar Jackson is, and the full measure is not being brought forward by the Ravens. And if that's not the case, then get out and find someone who will.
It was a really interesting discussion, and to give you some sense of the perspective of why he was saying what he was saying. The conversation is about him not getting paid the way the absolute top quarterbacks are getting paid right now, using Patrick Mahomes as the example. And if the argument he's saying is that, well, he doesn't do all the things Patrick Mahomes does, Steve is saying that's not because he can't, it's because the Ravens won't let him. Is that right?
I agree that the Ravens are using Lamar in an unconventional way, and there's a question about whether or not you can do high-level winning with that type of identity. I don't think it's that Lamar is not capable of being a quarterback that consistently wins from the pocket. It's just not something that the Ravens have chosen to do, and they want to accentuate his legs. But you can't use the identity of the team or the offensive philosophy against the player when it comes to contract negotiations. You can't say, Lamar, we're not going to make you the highest paid quarterback because you don't win from the pocket. You don't have enough explosion in the passing game like some of the other top tier quarterbacks. So from that perspective, Steve Young is absolutely right. But I don't think it's a matter of the organization holding him back. I think it's the Ravens Ravens choosing to go down this road because they believe that's the best path for them to win games.
Okay, fair enough. But the only reason to do that, it would seem, is if you don't think he can do the other piece of it, if you're them, because if you can, why wouldn't you do it? That helps other teams win. Why wouldn't it help yours? So, Sam, I guess the point is, if you put Lamar Jackson in a more conventional offense, Steve Young is saying he could be one of the great quarterbacks ever. Could he be? Would he be that in your view?
I think he already is on his way to being one of the great, great quarterbacks ever. He won MVP in 2019. Last year, even though he played less games, he had more passing yards than he did in 2020. And so for me, I think the Ravens have a formula of winning that's built. Defense, right? They've had a top three defense three out of the last 4 years. It's built on running the ball. That's the best running attack in all of the NFL. And I think even last year, like minus the injury, the Ravens were 8-3 going into week 12, right? They were leading the entire AFC. And then there were a couple close games. You lost by one on a 2-point conversion. Lamar Jackson gets hurt. You lose your last six. I don't think that the Ravens aren't paying Lamar because they're saying he can't beat Patrick Mahomes. I think the contract is coming. And I think Lamar Jackson is in a great system to go and succeed and use all of his attributes to be great.
I hope so, because, I mean, one of the keys to being one of the great quarterbacks of all time is longevity. And he just gets hit so much playing the style that they play. That's the thing that comes into question here. Brooke, what is your perspective on all this?
Well, first of all, I think that Steve Young should maybe be negotiating this contract for Lamar Jackson, because he would be paid, like, yesterday. But I still go back to they traded away Hollywood Brown. You want him to throw the ball more. If you want to see him add to his game to become this dynamic quarterback that he already is, but take it up to a level. Why'd you get rid of his best downfield threat? That's got to be so frustrating for Lamar to hear this and be like, you're holding me back because you're taking away my weapons, and now I have to hope that one of these other guys like Bateman develops and can be what Hollywood Brown was for me.
Your point is valid, Brooke, but here's the thing. They traded Hollywood Brown, and with that first-round pick, drafted an offensive lineman, Tyler Lindenbaum, out of Iowa. And if you look at Lamar Jackson's career, there's only been two quarterbacks that have more wins through their first 50 games than Lamar Jackson. So, I mean, as far as the organization setting themselves up to have team success and setting Lamar up to have success, you can make an argument that their offensive philosophy is something that bodes well for not only the team, but for Lamar Jackson as well. Now it's just a matter of them putting their money where their philosophy is and paying Lamar Jackson.
That's the point. It's all well and good until you don't pay him.
Yeah.
And now it becomes a problem. Mike T, how about it?
Well, I think the reason the deal's not done is Deshaun Watson, because average per year could be worked out. All these other contracts, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, all of them have a lot of guaranteed money, but over a couple of years, the guarantee goes away. Deshaun Watson's contract is fully guaranteed. And again, we've talked about this for a while now. All Lamar Jackson has to do is go in and say to Steve Bisciotti, look, I want the same exact structure as Deshaun Watson because I've been a league MVP and impeccable off the field. And somebody in our same division just got a fully guaranteed contract. So I got to think the structure of the contract is what's holding up from getting the deal done. And I do think when you look at Lamar Jackson's career, it's going to continue to evolve. He's getting better and better, and it has already been a league MVP. But as Chris Canty mentioned, I like the Marquise Brown trade because it fortified their offensive line, something we just talked about that's going to hold Justin Fields back. So I think they've done a reasonably good job in terms of supporting Lamar Jackson. Rashad Bateman has to evolve, but the foundation is certainly there for future success.
And look, the price tag on a franchise quarterback is not going to get cheaper when Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert become eligible for extensions next year. So the time to do this with Lamar Jackson is right now. They still have time to get it done before the season. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, the New York Jets had a friendly competition at camp yesterday in which, Chris Canty, their coaches were trying to field punts. Look at Mike Tannenbaum. He doesn't want any part of this conversation. Chris Canty, why is this so hard?
You know what? The ball gets closer. As it gets closer, it's moving faster. The velocity increases. It's nearly impossible to catch a punt. It's an art form that's not fully appreciated. I will say this. I guess the people over at the New York Jets are fans of Get Up because we've shown those clips of Mike Tannenbaum, and now it inspires another punt catching contest with the coaches. I love it. I'm here for it.
Tannenbaum, go ahead.
My suggestion, wear a helmet. Here's my jet helmet. I would put that on. Just some friendly advice for the people at Florham Park.
I mean, that's... my favorite thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't know what else to say. If you just drop it, it's one thing. But it's that little, tiny little steps backwards. And then the fall.
Greedy, I have to set the record straight again. It was a punk competition with Rex Ryan. We won, my buddy and I, but Rex paid off the producers. The footage will now live forever, but the record shows that we actually won the competition.
Yeah. Again, you're not making the point you think you're making. When you beat Rex in a punt-catching competition, I think you're setting your own personal bar a little too low. All right, we roll on here as we continue. A penalty flags. They call them laundry on football fields. Well, the Cowboys' laundry has been piling up. We'll tell you why it's imperative they keep things clean starting right now. And then, she's nervous. Brooke is going head-to-head right now with Sneaky Hembo, and here we go. Which team has had the most losing seasons since the last time the Steelers had one, which was 2003? I think you got a shot. We'll find out next. Let's get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're back on Get Up. I'm going to tell you right now, Brooke is nervous. She has been dreading this for the entirety of the hour. Let's see how we do. You cover the Steelers. Steelers never have a losing season. Which team has had the most losing seasons since the last time the Steelers had one, which was 2003?
I'm going to go with what I know, and what I know is the AFC North. I'm going to go Cleveland Browns.
The Cleveland Browns is correct.
Yes! Woo!
She got it right.
Can I just walk off now? Is that a walk-off winner? I can go.
You can walk off if you like. Hembo is going to be devastated at home. Browns 16 losing seasons in that stretch. The Lions are next, followed by the Raiders, Washington, and the Jaguars. Brooke got it right. Nicely done. Next order of business. Preseason games this weekend. I want to hear what everybody's looking forward to seeing. Tannenbaum, I'm starting with you. What do you want to see in the preseason this week?
Jacoby Brissett and the Cleveland Browns, for obvious reasons. He has now an 11-game audition at a minimum to show that he's the guy at quarterback. They're playing a good Philadelphia Eagle defense, and I think it's important, even though it's preseason, Greeny, for him to go out there and put a couple of real solid drives together and tamp down the noise about whether or not he's good enough.
Sacho, what are you looking forward to watching this weekend?
I can't wait to watch Trevor Lawrence go play again. He looked outstanding in his preseason game last week. There were some throws he made to Zay Jones, especially early in the game, that were phenomenal. He has a new head coach, Doug Peterson, offensive coordinator, Press Taylor, a revamped offensive line. He's going to look like that first overall pick that we were expecting last season. Now he's got the coach and the personnel to do it.
Brooke, as you celebrate your win over Hembo this weekend, what will you be watching for?
I am watching for the Cowboys to have fewer penalties than they did in their first preseason game, where they had 17 penalties. Look, preseason is unwatchable as it is. You throw in 17 flags, and I'm turning the TV off, except I'm turning it back on because it's my job to watch it. But it's painful. I'm looking for them to have under 10. That's my hope.
Well, that's the thing here. And, Chris, this is something that you don't want to overreact to, except based on the circumstances of last year. First of all, anything that happens when the stars are on the helmets, everyone pays extra attention to. But when you factor in that this was their specific problem a year ago, and then it rears rears its ugly head in the first preseason game. I ask you, how big a deal is this? Not in this weekend's exhibition, but at this point, is this the biggest concern you have for a Cowboys team as they enter their season?
There's no doubt about it, G. I mean, the penalties are a reflection of the coaching staff, and quite frankly, it's an indictment. You're talking about them being the most penalized team from a year ago, and if anything, as the head coach, in the first preseason outing, you want to have a clean operation, and you want to emphasize no penalties. But the self-inflicting wounds continue to pop up for the Dallas Cowboys, and guys, at some point, we have to start accepting that this is just the characteristic of who this team is going to be under Mike McCarthy. Either you're coaching it or you're letting it happen. When somebody shows you who they are, you should believe them. We should believe that this is a Dallas Cowboys team that's going to continue to struggle with penalties.
That's not good. I mean, Mike T, that's not good, right? So if we're hearing that from Canty, what does it make you think?
That he has to do something really significant, like bench a starter, take Tyler Smith, their first round pick. He's already had some issues with penalties. And if I'm Mike McCarthy, fear does the work of reason. I don't want to lose my job. I have the answers to the test. Jerry Jones told me that penalties have to go down. Clock management has to get better. I would come out publicly and say, if you commit penalties for the Dallas Cowboys in 2022, you are not playing for us. Tyler Smith, you're going to be sitting next to me. And until he does something drastic and players fear not playing, this is going to continue to happen. And for Mike McCarthy to save his job, in my opinion, there has to be a meaningful change quickly, and that would be the best way to do it.
Yeah, drastic actions come in a lot of different shapes, sizes, and forms. Mike Ditka, I remember once when he was in Chicago, wanted to send a message, said we cut a player during camp by going into the locker room, taking all his stuff out of his locker, and just throwing it into the street physically. Now, that may not be in keeping with Mike McCarthy's personality, but it's something like that, Sacho. Does some sort of real significant action need to be taken here before this derails a season and maybe derails a coach?
Well, someone just needs to take accountability. This needs to be someone's thing. Obviously, the head coach is supposed to take accountability for all penalties, all things that goes to football and our operation. It can't be like, well, the offensive line, and then what was the defense in the playoffs? No, someone needs to take ownership, i.e. Mike McCarthy, and say this will not happen. This will not, penalties or mistakes like we saw in the last playoff game will not be the reason why we lose this year. We are too talented all across the board. And so until someone takes responsibility, I don't think we'll see anything change.
Go ahead, Chris.
Greedy. We know Mike McCarthy doesn't call the plays on offense.
Right.
We know he doesn't call the plays on defense.
Right.
Jerry Jones says that the penalties need to be cut down and that you have to have better in-game management. I mean, what is Mike McCarthy doing? If he's not calling the plays on offense or defense, his primary job is game management and cutting down on the penalties and instilling discipline. If Mike McCarthy can't do that, then maybe Mike Tannenbaum is right. Maybe we are talking about a situation where he loses his job sooner rather than later.
Yeah, there was also that moment last year where he couldn't see the clock, which was not something that usually happens with head coaches. And look, they've got two coaches in waiting on that staff in Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn. We'll see. You don't want to fire a coach before he even plays a second preseason game, but things seem to be trending in that direction. Let's see what the weekend looks like. In the meantime, I want to go to Pittsburgh because this is, to me, one of the most interesting quarterback competitions that we have in the league. It's a three-way competition for the Steelers. Mitch Trubisky started the preseason opener. Mason Rudolph backed him up. Kenny Pickett played third string. Yesterday, Mike Tomlin said he's open to trying a new approach.
All three guys have performed well. I really think the main emphasis and the mentality regarding how we structured it this week is we just simply want to see Kenny in more varsity action. We know more about Mason. Mitch has been around the professional game, obviously. And so this is a big week for him in terms of maybe getting in the first half of this game. And I would imagine getting an opportunity to see frontline defenders for Jacksonville.
So, again, we'll see more of Kenny Pickett in meaningful circumstances this weekend. Chris Canty, what does all this seem to add up to you?
It feels like they're setting it up for Kenny Pickett to be the starting quarterback at the beginning of the regular season. And, Greeny, I think the performance that we saw in week one is all Mike Tomlin and that Pittsburgh Steelers organization needed to justify getting Kenny Pickett reps with the ones. When you look at what he did in preseason, you're talking about five drives. Two of them ended in touchdowns, including the game winner. I think when it comes to trying to transition from a veteran quarterback to a rookie quarterback, it has to be seen as a true competition because the guys in the locker room need to respect whoever the guy is under center. It has to be viewed as a meritocracy. You can't just give Kenny Pickett the starting job because he's a first-round pick. It seems like they're setting it up for Kenny Pickett to supplant Mitch Trubisky as the starter in Pittsburgh.
Now, Brooke, you cover the Steelers. I am not a body language expert, but I get a sense you have a disagreement here. What do you think?
Well, I think that Canty's over here just shilling Yinzer Catnip is what I'm hearing. This is what the people of Pittsburgh want to hear.
No. You can't just say shilling Yinzer Catnip as though everyone knows what that means.
Yeah. What?
Yinzers, people from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Catnip, something that would get the people from Pittsburgh excited and frenzied up.
Oh, I got it.
He's stoking
the masses.
Yes,
fair
exactly.
Enough. Okay, sorry.
He is selling me a Yinzer fairy tale. That's not reality, though, because here's the thing. Kenny Pickett looked good. He looked good against Seattle's, third string in the fourth quarter? That's not that. And that was, as Mike Tomlin would say, that was JV action. Just because they want to see him in more varsity action does not mean they're going to make him the starting quarterback. This is like a freshman that gets called up to varsity because they need some depth in the playoffs. This is not he's going to start week one. They have Mitch Trubisky, who has been solid in camp. He's not doing anything that knocks your socks off by any means, but he's also a steady veteran, a guy that can run this offense. He's not going to lose you games. At this point, Kenny Pickett is still young. Why would you rush him? I asked Mike Tomlin about the fact that he looks better than he looked at rookie minicamp, OTAs, early in training camp, and he laughed out loud at me. He was like, that's what's supposed to happen. He has not turned into Patrick Mahomes. He's still a rookie. Why would you spend the money on Mitch Trubisky if you're going to start Kenny Pickett?
Well, they didn't spend a whole lot of money on Mitch Trubisky. You're talking about a two-year, $14 million deal. That's middle-of-the-road backup quarterback money. And to your point about playing against Seattle's third string, it ain't like Kenny Pickett was out there with Pittsburgh's first string. And yet he was able to have a clean operation, no penalties in the five drives that he had, and a really impressive game-winning throw to Tyler Vaughn. A far hash throw to a guy with a little bit of zip on the ball. I thought he handled himself well, and I think that's the most important thing when trying to gauge whether or not a guy is ready to be your starting quarterback.
Mike T, is Chris Canty just shilling Yinzer Catnip?
I'm not really sure, but what I am sure of, you're much better off starting Mitch Trubisky, because if Kenny Pickett stumbles as the original starter coming out of opening day, it's hard to put him back in this year. I'd rather go with the veteran quarterback, let Kenny Pickett learn on the sideline, keep developing, and then you can make the change whenever Coach Tomlin feels like it's appropriate. And by the way, I think what Coach Tomlin's doing right now is showing his Hall of Fame credentials. He's handling this masterfully by getting all his quarterbacks ready to go. And I think that's why Pittsburgh is going to remain competitive. They're going to have a great defense. They got a great head coach. And whoever plays quarterback is going to be a little bit of a work in progress, something that they haven't had to do in a long time in Pittsburgh.
That's right. And look, I mean, they have more invested at this point in Pickett than they do in Trubisky.
Yeah.
$14 million is $14 million. He's a first-round pick. They drafted him. Ultimately, he's going to be their quarterback, one would think. I'm a Trubisky supporter. I still believe he can have a successful second act. It just doesn't look to me like in the long run it's going to be in Pittsburgh. Our next ESPN Bundesliga match is scheduled for tomorrow morning. It's 2-0 Dortmund visiting Werder Bremen, who's played to two draws. Our coverage begins at 9:20 a.m. Eastern with a kickoff just after the bottom of the hour. It's also on ESPN Deportes and on ESPN Plus. As we continue, Matt Stafford is hurting. Trey Lance is rising. Why these factors play into two of the largest NFL hot takes you're going to hear, and they're on the way. Let's get up. Shilling Yinzer Catnip on ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ready for the college season? Yes, we are. Ready for the NFL season? We are that as well. And for that, we've asked Chris Canty to put together five bold predictions, things he sees coming up in pro football in 2022, and it begins in the NFC East.
Absolutely. A division I spent 8 years of my playing career in, Greeny. I know the Dallas Cowboys are the favorite to win the division, but I'm picking the Philadelphia Eagles to win the NFC East. Yes, I'm doing it. I love what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. It was a top 10 unit that only got stronger. They added Hassan Reddick, a double-digit sack guy. They added James Bradbury. They drafted Jordan Davis in the first round, not to mention his college teammate, N'Kobe Dean, in the third round. It's a defense that's only getting better. They have the best offensive line in all of football. And, oh, by the way, they traded for a number one receiver for Jalen Hurts in A.J. Brown. Philadelphia Eagles run away with the NFC East. Keeping it moving. Number four, we have Malik Willis taking over the starting job for the Tennessee Titans at some point this season. Listen, Ryan Tannehill last year in the playoffs, his first pass against the Bengals was a pick. His first pass in the second half was a pick. And he ended the game throwing an interception. At some point, it gives way to Malik Willis. We saw the dominant traits from college translate to the NFL in his first preseason action. And Greeny, could you imagine the zone running scheme with Malik Willis and Derrick Henry? Good night. Keeping it pushing at number three, Brandon Staley won't be the head coach of the Chargers in 2023. This is going to be his last season as the head coach. And I get that this is only his second year with the Chargers, but you've already heard overtures that Sean Payton would be interested in this job. Justin Herbert is one of the very best quarterbacks in the National Football League. And the game management, specifically the gambles that Brandon Staley takes in a winning end game in week 18 against the Raiders, he decided in the third quarter, down by 3 points, to go for it on his own 18-yard line. Ends up getting stopped. That translates into a field goal for the Raiders. And oh, by the way, the Raiders ended up winning that game in overtime by 3 points. Number two, the Rams missed the playoffs. What? Yes, I said it. What? The defending champs are going to miss the playoffs. You got a quarterback who's had an elbow injury that's still bothering him since last year. Matt Stafford, no timeline on when he's going to get back, a top-heavy roster. If Matt Stafford can't be the explosive player that he showed he could be in the passing game last year, then the Rams have no shot of not only repeating as champs, but actually winning their division and getting into the playoffs. So, yes, I got it. The defending champs missing the playoffs. It's happened 3 times in the last decade. I'm predicting that this is going to be the fourth. And the number one bold prediction, if you haven't heard me say it before, I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. The 49ers are going to the Super Bowl. They will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I believe in Trey Lance. More importantly, I believe in Kyle Shanahan getting the most out of the players on this team. They have a really good offensive line, a top five run game, a top five skill position core, and a top five defense. All of the pieces are in place for the 49ers not only to win their division, but actually do damage once they get into the postseason.
All right, so can I just say two things? First and foremost, that is an excellent list. Those are five phenomenally bold. Usually I ask for bold predictions and they come back and they're not so bold. These are bold and excellent and interesting and thought-provoking, every single one. But let's focus on numbers two and one, which is in that NFC West, which is an excellent division, the Rams, the defending Super Bowl champs, out. The 49ers in and making that deep run behind the young quarterback. So many people so high on Trey Lance. Sam Acho, are you? Are you that level of high on the 49ers and their young QB as my man Canty is?
Yeah, I'm high on the 49ers and that young QB. I'm not high on this list. Brandon Staley being out after year two, I think is ridiculous. Malik Willis starting maybe like late in the season injury. Yes, San Francisco has a dominant roster all across the board. Defensively, they're one of the top defenses. And so D'Amico Ryan's doing a great job on the back end. You've signed back the players you needed to sign back. And so I'm high on the 49ers, but I still think the Rams, adding Allen Robinson, adding Bobby Wagner, this is to Cooper Cooper Kupp into Aaron Donald. You already have weapons. And then Matthew Stafford. I still like the Rams in the NFC. But all that being said, I like the 49ers. List I'm sleeping on.
I love your list. He's just shilling yinz or catnip. Pay no attention to him whatsoever. All right, so let's do this. So we got the 49ers is Canty's pick to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Let's see what everyone else thinks. Brooke, I'll start with you. Who is your pick right now, this at this moment, who's going to win the NFC and go to the Super Bowl?
Even with Brady's unexplained absence, excused absence, I'm going with the Bucs. To me, it's still the Bucs and everybody else. And some of the top teams in the NFC have huge question marks, like the Packers. I still have question marks with the 49ers. I'm going with the Bucs. They have the fewest question marks, and the one big one that they have, I think, will be answered once he comes back.
All right, Sacho just gave us his, which is the Rams. He still has the Rams going back to the Super Bowl as he moved through this relatively quickly. How about you, Mike T? Who's your pick?
Mine is also the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it's firmly etched in pencil, assuming that Tom Brady comes back sooner than later. But they also are going to have the Coach of the Year in Todd Bowles, who's a big upgrade over Bruce Arians. I've worked with Coach Bowles before. I think he's going to have a great second sort of chapter as a head coach in the NFL. He did a better job than people realize at the Jets, and they're in great hands with him, and that defense has a chance to be top five.
Yeah, look, I think all picks in the NFC are in pencil, and I wanted so desperately to go out on some sort of a limb here and pick a team like the Eagles or something like that, but at the end of the day, there's only one hard, fast rule. If the question is about the Super Bowl, the answer is Tom Brady. So there's no way I can pick against him at this point, but I agree with Tannenbaum. It is etched in pencil. We have more to do as we continue getting up with you. And then top of the hour, it's time for First Take here on ESPN. Now that Deshaun Watson's suspension is complete, how are Watson and the NFL perceived? Molly, Stephen A., Kimberly Martin, Chris Russo talking about that and more. First Take follows us here on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. Now, there's only one MLS match on the schedule tonight. All soccer eyes will be on the Galaxy hosting the Sounders. It's an important Western Conference game between playoff hopefuls. West Coast primetime matchup starts 10 Eastern tonight on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. All right, we will finish it where we began. The big news of this day, the NFL and the NFLPA reaching a settlement in the Deshaun Watson case, agreeing to an 11-game suspension without pay and a fine of $5 million after Watson was accused by more than two dozen women of sexual misconduct during massage sessions. Earlier this hour, if you were not with us, we had a lengthy discussion about the ramifications of this and the emotions that it has brought up in so many people. Those are things that are obviously much more important than the outcomes of any football games. That said, there are also major football ramifications to these decisions. And so, Mike Tannenbaum, I will start with you as our general manager. If you were the Cleveland Browns right now that the decision has been made, what is the first thing you would do?
Trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I would not get off the phone with San Francisco until the deal was done. Jacoby was such a good football player, but this is a team that could win right now. And you're one hit away from Josh Rosen or Josh Dobbs playing. Jimmy Garoppolo fortifies that room and gives you a chance to win the division this year.
I guess what it really boils down to here, Sam Acho, is this a team with championship aspirations? Would they be using Garoppolo to keep afloat championship aspirations for this year if and when Watson comes back towards the end of season to play? Does that make sense to you, Sam? Would you do it?
Yes, it makes sense to me, but trading for Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to help this team win the division. The Browns aren't going to win the division with Jimmy Garoppolo at their quarterback.
Fair enough. What do you think of that, Chris Canty?
Well, I think they're probably a dark horse to win the division. I think it's a long shot, but they do have an opportunity to get into the playoffs, and it speaks to what Mike Tannenbaum was talking about with this roster. Last year, they were a top five defense, a top five running game, and they had the highest graded offensive line in the division, according to PFF. This is a team that's ready to go, and if you can get a quarterback who was the starter on a team that's gone to a conference championship game two of the last 3 years, I think it's a clear upgrade from what you already had in your quarterback room. So you're doing the other guys in the locker room a disservice if you don't at least inquire about what it would take to get Jimmy Garoppolo from San Francisco.
Brooke, a final thought. What do you think?
Look, Jacoby Brissett was not successful as a bridge quarterback in two tries in Indy. He has not done anything to show me that he can be that guy in Cleveland. He's 14-23 as a starter. I think you have to go out. You have to make a statement. You have to bring in Jimmy G to have any prayer in a quarterback-heavy division.
All right, we'll see what they are ultimately able to do. Look, we've had a lot of serious conversations here this week, and we've had a lot of fun, and I think I'd like to leave it with the fun if we can. One more time before we retire it for good. Mike Tannenbaum,
yes.
Not yes. Fielding a punt here back in the day. My favorite part, again, are just the tiny little steps. His feet move like Fred Flintstone.
Twinkle toes. Yes. Let's go.
Have a wonderful weekend. On that note, we will see you back in Better Than Ever. First Take starts now.